Good morning and thank you for joining me. I'm Kathy Kaler and this is Community in Conversation. You've seen it on Netflix. You've been chatting to your friends about it. You've been speaking to your hockey group about it and the school moms about it. It's all over social media. You've read the comments at the very least. Of course, it's the Netflix series that has really got us all talking. I'm talking about My Unorthodox Life. It is the story of Julia Hart. Here, take a listen.
Are there rules about sex?
Oh, there's rules about which shoe you're supposed to tie first, just to give you an idea. My name is Julia Hart, and I am the CEO of the largest conglomerate of modeling agencies in the world.
Love of my life.
I'm married to an amazing man. I have four incredible children. It's really hard to imagine that just a few years ago, I was living in an extreme, ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, and then I just packed up and left. Because one thing you can say is we have a very interesting life.
Family.
I'm still a virgin, the world I'm from. Dating is meant for marriage.
I did the married thing young at 19, and I never had any single years as an adult.
We're not pressuring Batsheva to have babies. Didn't we have this conversation, you and I?
Yeah.
I am passionate about building apps that empower women.
I was telling Bot that I'm bi, whatever.
Not bi, whatever. Bi.
Right.
Own it.
She thought it was kind of like a phase.
My little one, Aaron, he's not talking to girls. He broke up with his girlfriend.
People try to be like, why don't you loosen up a little? I'm like, that's not me.
It takes time to deprogram yourself.
I had my first kiss.
Yes!
I feel like I'm part of your family, part of your life.
I want to change and modernize the entire modeling industry.
If you f*** with Julia, she will bulldoze you. And it's the most powerful, incredible thing I have ever seen in my life.
I'm not easy, but easy's boring.
I'm just trying to be myself. That, to me, is what I fought with my mom to do.
I was covered up my entire life. So to me, every low-cut top, every miniskirt is an emblem of freedom. This is just the beginning. I want you guys to all outdo me. Challenge accepted.
Julia Hart has four children, Batsheva, Shlomo, Miriam, and Aaron. Batsheva Hart is Julia's eldest daughter. She's a social media influencer, a famous American blogger, and she has well over a million followers on TikTok. She is a powerhouse in her own right. In the series, she has moved from a world of Haredi to a modern Orthodox lifestyle, and she joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Batsheva. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on today.
It is my pleasure. Firstly, how is your family?
My family is doing really well, adjusting slightly to being recognized and just having a whole new presence on social media. But we're all really thankful for the response that we've been getting and happy that people are liking the show.
Absolutely. I don't know anybody who's just watched it in bits. Everybody I know has binge watched it. So thanks to Netflix. How are you coping? How are you coping with being recognized?
I think because of my large TikTok following, I've gotten that recognition before. Obviously now it's starting to happen more often, but I've gotten somewhat used to people coming over and being like, oh my God, I follow you on TikTok. I love your page, and recognizing me or knowing things about me and I don't know anything about them. So it's been easier for me, I think, because I'm a little bit more used to it than everybody else in my family, but it's starting to happen more often. So that's something new.
Are you finding that you're able to support your family in, you know, helping them cope with this newfound fame? Because as you say, you were the public figure beforehand.
Yeah, I think very exciting for people. If we all put ourselves out there, we all opened up for the world to see. So to have, I've only had positive experiences. So when people are coming over, they're usually saying how they love the show. And it's nice to reiterate that to yourself, like what you did, what you putting yourself out there was all worth it. People are enjoying it. They like you. They like your family. It's kind of nice to get that gratification in person.
Has anyone in your family had negative experiences from being recognized?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so so far. Hopefully, you know, Bli and Hara, there's only been positive experiences.
Amazing. How much happens behind the scenes that we don't see?
I think that people think that people follow you around all day long, and it's more, you know when you're going to be filming. It's not a surprise, but the storylines are very much true. A lot of people message me like, oh my God, is this true? Did this really happen? And really, majority of the show are conversations that we really have, and we try to share things that we think people are going to be interested in hearing or can learn from or can have similar experiences. So I feel like a lot of it, it's a lot more real than you would think. I used to be a huge, once I knew we were doing reality TV, I started watching all the reality TV I could, and it was interesting to see it being filmed. But I think that every show obviously has a different format, but the format that we went with was really trying to be as authentic and organic as we could, so that, and I think that comes through in the show, that you see that, like, we're not making up feelings. People are like, oh, you didn't really have that conversation with your husband about wearing pants. I'm like, no, I did have that conversation, unfortunately, many, many times off screen and on screen. So we really tried to share those experiences that were very much authentic to us.
It's so interesting that you bring up that conversation about the pants. I've seen so many social media posts about, you know, about wearing pants and about not wearing pants. It's like people have latched onto this wearing pants or not. And I actually went back and I rewatched the whole series. So I've seen it twice.
Wow.
And
thank you.
It's interesting how my perspective has changed between the first and the second time. And the second time I watched, because I knew that our interview was coming up. And, you know, when you're having that conversation with Ben, by the way, do you call him Ben or Benjamin?
I usually say Ben. Unless I'm, like, upset, I say Benjamin Moshe Weinstein. I get the full name out there.
And when you're having that conversation with him, you're in this really sexy top. It's off the shoulder. And, you know, why are pants even an issue?
There's
an authority there, which I don't understand. Do you understand it?
Yeah, so I think the original concept comes from women aren't supposed to wear something called baguette-ish, which is like men's clothing. So way back when, even I would say 70 years ago maybe, women didn't wear pants. So it was considered a no-no. But now that it's very much a woman wearing a pair of jeans or a pair of pants is very much every single woman in society has that in their closet. It doesn't have the same stigma as it used to have or when it was originally written. So that's why the modern Orthodox world, they all wear pants. It's not a big deal. It's not a thing. But where I grew up, if you wore pants, that meant that you weren't religious at all. I didn't know any modern Orthodox people. I only knew my circle of people who only wore skirts. So to most people, it's like, what's the big deal? But to me, it was a really big step, even though in my opinion, at the time I was still wearing like mini skirts basically, but because it was a skirt, it was okay. Not by the ultra religious standards, but like with my husband in his mind. So to me, pants are modest. They're great. I love them. And it was really something that I gave him time to come around to. And then I was like, okay, I gave you enough time. This is what I'm doing. And now he's come around. Thank God.
It is quite strange that whether one wears pants, whether one doesn't wear pants, people judge your level of spirituality.
Yeah.
When actually it has nothing to do with spirituality and one's relationship with God at all.
100%. It has nothing to do with that. It's just an outward, what you're showing to the outside world and what people are looking at, and they're just judging your outward appearance as opposed to getting to know who you are and what your beliefs are, what kind of person you are.
And who is Bathsheba? in terms of your religious identity? I mean, obviously you are this multidimensional, incredible powerhouse of a neshama, but who are you in terms of your Jewish identity as we have this conversation now? Because it might even change in a week's time.
Yeah, I think that I consider myself modern Orthodox. I keep Shabbat, which I really value because I do social media. So I'm always sharing and I'm always on. And to have that time where I turn off my phone for 25 hours and just spend time with friends and family, is really special for myself, for my mental health. And I would say there's so many aspects of being Jewish that I really love, all the traditions, the family values. So, and I'm a very proud Jewish woman. And I think that comes through. It's, you know, when previously people would say they would call themselves, let's say, a Jewish blogger. I would more say I'm a blogger who's Jewish. So I'm not like sitting there talking about my religiousness on my social media, but I think it's very apparent where I am religiously in terms of where I stand and, you know, who I and what I share with the world.
Are you surprised at the pushback that we've seen through, you know, social media? And obviously coming from the community, but are you surprised at that?
I don't think so. I understand if someone is sharing that they had a bad experience with their life and that's the way that you live your life, you would feel that you need to defend it for other people. Like, well, just because she had a bad experience doesn't mean it's a bad experience for everyone. And I think that a lot of the people who are saying things like that didn't watch the show fully. They maybe watched just the trailer or they watched the first episode. And I think if you watch all the way through the full season, you understand that my mom isn't promoting people to leave or to not live their life that way. She's just saying that life isn't for everyone. And if you don't want to live that way, you have other options. You can be more modern Orthodox. You can not be religious and still have a very productive life. So I think a lot of it came from not fully watching and just from, you know, getting on that bandwagon and joining people without educating yourself really.
It's so interesting, the different comments. When I watched the series the second time, I noticed how many times your mom actually spoke about Torah values, how many times you quoted Torah. It's been absolutely fascinating. And I zoomed out and I thought, this is amazing because there's the words of Torah going out to the world. And obviously the way that she conducts herself is based in Torah values. The fact of how she dresses or whether she wears pants or not is not even a conversation. The same with you. It comes back to us judging people for how they look rather than who they are. You know, we should judge people by their behaviors, not by how much money they have or what they're wearing. I think that's the lesson in this.
Yeah, and I think, and as you said, if you really watch it and you're paying attention to it, we celebrate Sukkot or we talk about why we're in a sukkah. We share lots of different Torah values and we show Shabbat. There's just so many things that are shared that if you watch fully and you are going in with an open mind, you'll see that it's not hating on a whole entire community. It's saying that I had a bad experience with this. This was my experience. It wasn't positive. It wasn't for me. I want to give other people who are having a bad experience hope that there's other opportunities. And something that I have gotten, and you know, I always say this, and I think messages I've received will prove that as well, is that this isn't specifically to Judaism. It's any religion where you have an ultra religious community where if you don't obey those laws, then you're not a good person. So I've had people who are from Muslim cultures, from ultra Christian, Catholic, Greek Orthodox message me and be like, I really relate to this. Like, this is my experience as well. So I think my mom really used the term fundamentalism because she wanted to share that this isn't specifically on Judaism. This is on any religion that has fundamental characteristics where if it's one way or the highway.
Well, it's extremism. It's extremism, yeah. And every religion has it. I'm Kathy Kayla. This is 101.9 High FM. I'm speaking to Batsheva Hart, who is one of the stars of My Unorthodox Life. It is a series on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Join the conversation. Everybody's having it. Batsheva, at what point would you say a belief system or a movement, a religion becomes extreme and fundamentalist? Have you thought about that at all?
I think if it's stopping you from exploring other things, that to me is, I mean, if you're being cut off from different societies, if you've really truly thought about where you are religiously, then it's okay to be around other people who have different religions and different beliefs. And I think, you know, I was very much cut off from that. When I graduated high school early, most people do a year abroad in Israel. I didn't want to do that. So I went to a kosher culinary school with my mom, and what I wanted to do was go to cosmetology school, but I would have been with non-Jewish people or non-religious people. And my parents were like, you're not ready. You're too young. It's dangerous for your neshama, for your soul to be around people like that. And you could be influenced in the wrong way. So I think to me, a lot of it comes from not wanting you to see that there's anything else out there. And just holding you tight so that you can't have any other outside influences.
When I was watching, there was a conversation between you and your mom, and you had been married 2 days. You and Ben had gotten married. You'd been married for 2 days when your mom left the Haredi community. How did that actually happen? I mean, did she just go and get an apartment somewhere else?
She really shared. She's coming out with a book in February. So I think, you know, I can't really share any of that. It's all her own journey. Yeah. And I also moved to Israel at the time. Like I moved to Israel at the same moment. So I wasn't home. I didn't really see. I just, you know, felt the absence through my phone calls really. And she really shares that full experience and in detail in her book. So I definitely recommend a pre-order on that.
Shameless promotion.
Gotta put it out there.
I'm sure. I'm quite sure that this book is going to be a bestseller. What I wondered about is how you coped with that absence. Just thinking because of other conversations which would actually be normally in a normal family, it would be very private and very personal. All of a sudden they're right out there. For example, you know, your first night of marriage and those conversations, those are very, very intimate, private conversations. How do you cope with that?
I think that I took a step back and thought, what are people going to gain from hearing this? And I think because I was so lost, I made the decision with Ben that this would do more good to share than to keep it to ourselves. And that's kind of the approach that we take to things that we open up about, meaning if I'm sharing this, what are other people going to gain from it? Because otherwise it's not worth sharing. So it's definitely very uncomfortable to open up like that. But I think that hopefully people who are in similar situations won't be so afraid to ask questions. It shouldn't be so, you know, sex shouldn't be such a taboo subject if you're asking someone who's knowledgeable. And it should be more safe. So I think opening ourselves up to that was in the hopes that people will learn.
When the world is becoming more open about sex, why do you think Judaism is putting it really into, or relegating it into the corner where nobody wants to talk about it?
I think it all comes down to like that being scared of you knowing too much, or if you're too knowledgeable, then you're going to have time to think about other things. Like when I was in high school, we had school Sunday through Friday and we had tons of work. And I remember like asking, like, why do I have so much homework? I never have any free time. And they're like, they don't want you to have free time. Cause if you had free time, then you could maybe do something wrong, hang out with the wrong people. So I think it's all about having that control over what knowledge you have, because knowledge ultimately is power to be able to make decisions for yourself.
So interesting. I mean, if one looks at Torah is a manual. It's a manual for life. It's a manual about creation. And, you know, it's a manual on sex as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's in there. It's not supposed to be taboo.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people think that, well, not only do Jews make love through a sheet or a hole in the sheet, that you have to be clothed. Not only, you know, they don't know that unless you study it, you don't know that you have to be skin on skin for the actual act itself, because it's a holy act. It's crazy.
So holy, and then therefore it should be shared and celebrated instead of put
well,
in
information
a small
anyway. Yeah. Not necessarily sharing sex with everybody.
I meant the information.
No, I got it. What did you think somebody would gain hearing that conversation between you and Ben about what had been written in the book about your first night of marriage?
I think what I thought is that we wanted to share that we were really lost, and that it was, you go from not doing anything with, you know, a man or vice versa. It's scary. So we kind of wanted to share that for people, like, you're not alone. This is normal. And like, before getting into that situation, hopefully you will educate yourself so that you won't be scared. And then this way you'll feel more comfortable and confident.
Sure. Good advice and good intentions. One of our listeners have sent in a question saying, this comes from Leora Leslie, and she says, I'd love to know what Ben's family feels about your change in lifestyle and religion. What is your relationship with the religious family left behind?
We're still very close, very much like still very similar with my dad. They just want us to be happy and they respect our lifestyles. We respect their lifestyles, and they value family over everything else. And I get that question a lot about my dad or about Ben's family because they don't see them in social media. But I think what people don't realize is not everyone wants to be on social media. Yeah. Not everyone wants to be shared. And just because I don't share them, that's me respecting their wishes. And I still spend time with them all. I see them all the time. I just don't post about it because they don't want me to, and I respect that boundary.
Okay, Leanne Diner wants to know why your husband Ben sometimes wears a kippah and sometimes he doesn't.
Oh, interesting. I don't even think I noticed that. I don't think it's an on purpose moment. I think that it really just depends on his mood or where he's off to. If he's in the house or just having family time, he generally wears it. When he's out, it really just depends. Like if he's doing like a business meeting or something, I think it depends on his mood. I don't think there's no thought out process behind that, but interesting call. I didn't notice that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Leanne. Have you watched the series?
Yeah, I have seen it all.
And is there anything that you would change?
No, I think it was made really well. I think it's nice to see, as someone who watches a lot of reality TV, that you have all the different emotions there. You're laughing sometimes, you're crying, you have the drama. So I think that like they did a really good job in editing it and, you know, and on our part and sharing what we could and in order to get that good show to come out, because I think that was a process as well.
How do you feel about being called the Jewish Kardashians?
I think, yes, I have heard that. I'm very thankful to the Kardashians because before them, you didn't have there's no such thing as like social media being as big as it is today or having a family. I think it's because there hasn't been any other family TV like this. So very much, I understand. And I'm very grateful to them because they really paved the way for people to make social media a career and a lifestyle and to have a show like this. So very much thankful.
Do you see your grandparents?
I don't see my grandparents on both sides. I generally would see, but I don't see them often now just because of the world that we're currently, everything's current situation. But I have seen them in the past year, just not often.
What has been the reaction from your extended family about the series? Have any of them watched it?
My aunt, who is on the show, obviously watched it. She's very much into it. And I honestly don't know for the rest of the extended family. I haven't spoken to them about it.
Quite bizarre how we cut people off because they believe something different. And it's not a judgment on your family. It's a statement in general.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it all comes back to that. If someone's doing something different, then it's dangerous for you to know about it. Because if you know about it, then you can come to do that different thing as well. And that's where separating yourself comes from.
Batsheva, if you were a car, what car would you be?
Oh my, such a tough one. If I was a car, what car would I be? I guess I would have to go with like maybe an Aston Martin convertible. I don't know cars that well, but I think I would want to be something that's really classy, that can put its seat back, let its hair down sometimes, and have fun.
Okay, and if you were a magazine, what magazine would you be? Along the same sort of lines.
Yeah, I guess I would go with InStyle because I feel like it has a fashion, but it has a different price points. It's more relatable than other magazines, I think, for a larger amount of people. And that's something that I try to put through in my social media aspects and sharing what I share.
Another listener question is from Jody Kramer. She says, why have you changed your last name to Hart?
I haven't legally changed my name. I go by three different names. My legal name is Hendler, which is the name I was born with. My married name is Weinstein, and my social media name is Hart. So it's kind of just like my social media persona. So it's not a negative or a positive. It's just a way that I identify as in the social media world and in the, I guess, like public eye.
Another listener question is from Raisi Davido. She says, we talk about freedom and woman's liberty, but I don't understand how that fits with modeling, which is designed for and by a paternalistic system, which objectifies women. And I think that was a conversation that actually took place in the series as well. What's your thought on that, Batsheva?
I think that I think that she should watch the show back because my mom's whole thing is that she's coming in to change the modeling industry because previously it has been like that. You know, it's men making decisions, and now she's coming in and making sure that every woman is respected and is given the proper care and is taken care of in the right way. And I think that she's definitely right that it's been like that previously, but my mom's whole thing is that she's coming in to change that.
Looking at you and your siblings and how stable you are and accomplished you are at such young ages, your mother has really done an excellent job. That is my personal opinion. I'm a mother. I know how hard it is. It is the hardest job in the world. What are the lessons that you've learned from your mom?
I think I've learned, number one, to, as a woman, to have something for yourself that's outside of your home, because I think my mom felt that she was unfulfilled, and not that being a mother isn't fulfilling, because I think I'm sure it's one of the most amazing jobs, and my mom loves being a mom, but I think it's important to also have something that's purely yours, because once your kids are grown and are out of the house, then I think a lot of people who never had any kind of job feel very lost. And at a very young age, because a lot of people have babies right away. So all their kids are grown by the time they're 40, and then they're young and feel like, now what do I do with my life? So I think number one lesson is have something that's yours. You don't need to be a career woman, but to have a little side business or a hobby that can turn into something is really important for women. And I think the other thing would be to not judge what makes somebody else happy, because everybody has their own path in life. And it's important that we respect that my journey can be different to somebody else's journey, and just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad or less than.
Do you think that we should be exploring and testing and probing our belief systems as we go through life, that we shouldn't be the same people, you know, in our teens that we are in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s?
Definitely. I think everybody should evolve your what you believe in, not necessarily the core values, but how you believe in them. Just as you mature, everything should mature with you. So I don't think it's a matter of necessarily changing your beliefs, but practicing them in a deeper way or a more thought out way.
Do you do any other spiritual exercises? Are you involved in yoga, meditation, or is it still firmly rooted in you feed your soul through Judaism?
Yeah, I would say mostly feeding my soul through Judaism. I occasionally do yoga, but not so much. I like the idea of meditation, but I find it very hard to just turn off.
I'm sure because your life is just go, 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 go. Is any part of it scripted?
No, the series is not scripted at all. I think that was something that was surprising to me. I thought they're like, you say this and it's really your own words.
And was there discussion about the series before you agreed to it? Or was it something that your mom agreed to and then everybody kind of said, okay, we'll be part of it?
No, my mom, this has been my mom's goal for a while. She wanted to do this, so we were all aware of it. And I think it was something that we were all excited about, ultimately, to be able to, because as my mom says, she's sharing and she's opening up in order to hopefully empower other people who are struggling as well.
Somebody actually said, it was somebody who was being very critical. Some people are very comfortable within themselves and they're not phased one way or another because they just recognize it's the journey of a family and we can stand and observe in interest, but it's really not for us to judge. But what they said is that it's almost like the family has taken on, they've become fundamentalist secularists. It is interesting. Do you want to respond to that?
I disagree only because we share religion a lot in the show and we all love our Jewish traditions. And even though we don't all celebrate them the same way, I think it's very apparent that religion is very much respected, and celebrated.
Do you draw a distinction between religion and spirituality?
I think that if you are raised with religion, it kind of comes hand in hand, but I think that you can still be very much spiritual without necessarily following the correct rules of what spirituality means. Meaning you can talk to God at any point. It doesn't need to be reading in a prayer book.
And it raises the question also about people who are born from birth. Mm-hmm. And people like myself who balei tshuva. As a balei tshuva, I feel like I'm at an advantage because I had to learn why we do things the way we do. And I had to go back to the sources and see why they are the way that they are. From birth, it very easily becomes just the way that it's done. We do this because we've always done it.
Exactly.
You know, there isn't that learning process. Are you still exploring and learning? Are you involved in Jewish learning? Is there time?
I don't personally do that, but my husband learns every day. He has a chavrusah partner, and I feel like I connect with God in my own personal journey and just with my thoughts throughout the day. I don't think it needs to be a ritualistic kind of thing. It can be a mental connection.
Is Netflix going to be doing series 2 or season 2?
That will be announced in hopefully the near future. That is all I can say.
No, you can't not. Seriously. Terrible. Looking back, has this been good for you? For you personally?
Yeah,
not
for me. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do. Social media is my main job. So to have the opportunity to put myself out there on a huge platform has been a really great move for me.
incredible. Has it been a positive for everybody that you can look back and say, you know what, we've actually gained from this rather than, you know, it having a negative impact on certain relationships?
Yeah, I think it's been really, really positive for everybody as a whole.
Yeah, I did wonder about that because, you know, when someone leaves the room and two people are left and they're having a conversation about the third who's left the room, you know, when the series airs, you get to see what was said. You know, I'm speaking in very broad terms, but it's, you know, I imagine that, I don't know, are you aware of that?
I think it's when you see it on the screen, you already know that it's coming. You're not, you don't necessarily know exactly what they're saying, but I think that we were all, you know, we spoke a lot. We made sure that everybody was okay. So I think there's a lot of, in terms of like all of our relationships, you know, if we said something, we gave a heads up to the person after saying it. So it wasn't such a surprise.
Yeah. I love the way that your family deals with conflict.
Yes. You
know, firstly, you don't do it at volume, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Calm and over a cup of coffee, if necessary. Has your family always dealt with conflict like that, or has it not been so much?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we had a makeup artist over the day that we were filming some stuff for Netflix for their YouTube page, and she was with us from morning until night, and she was like, this is crazy. You guys haven't fought once. Like, I've never been around a family like this. And I'm like, oh, like, I didn't realize that. Like, I mean, I know that there are people who fight a lot, but we really have like a very thought out responses to each other. And we're not, we just don't fight. I'm sure when we were little, it was different, but now as adults, if we're upset about something or we're hurt, we talk to the person, we tell them why, and then we resolve and move on.
What's been your highlight moment of the series?
I guess my highlight moment, well, I was very much surprised by Ben's dance for me. That was
beautiful.
That was really shocked because I really had no idea. I was just told to come up to a spot and there he was. And I did not know what I was getting myself into. And that was definitely a pure joy moment. He had the cheese plate for me and he danced. So that was great.
When I see you eating in all these different restaurants, I'm thinking, are these all kosher restaurants that you're eating at?
They are not.
Okay. Because I just thought, well, United States, you know, huge Jewish population, they must all be kosher. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. So interesting. No. So we eat like dairy and fish.
What have you learned about life so far that you would like to teach your children one day? And I know that children are a big conversation. This question is not pressurizing you in any way.
I would hope that I think that I would like to give them a lot of opportunities that I wasn't given to be able to express themselves. And I try to really live whatever life I live in a way that I would want to bring what kind of world do I want to bring my children up in? And I think the way that I'm living my life right now with religion in it, but not in a way that I feel like it's holding me back in any way, is a way that I would want to raise my children.
It's so interesting when we talk about the different communities within Judaism. You know, it's, and maybe that's also why I relate to you on so many levels, even though we are generations apart, is that, you know, Balei Tshuva, people who come back to observance, go to extremes. And then over the years, we kind of moderate things a bit, right? So, and that's what I've found. And I wonder if that isn't a process with your mom in terms of liberation and where the family's at, that in time, the family will find their place and each person within the family will find their place until you start questioning them. And then, you know, we're human beings. We're not meant to be the same people in our teens that we are in our 20s and 30s and 50s and whatever it is. Batsheva Hart, you are an absolute delight.
thank you so much. Just keep doing what you do. You know, send love from Johannesburg, South Africa, and from the Jewish community to your family, and just wish you all the best and lots of success.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
That was Batsheva Hart. She is one of the stars of the Netflix series My Unorthodox Life. While watching the series the first time, I saw the superficial. I got caught up in the emotion and the shock and sometimes cringe-worthy moments. I was addicted and binge-watched season one on a Sunday. I was also totally oblivious to the storm taking place on social media. When I watched the series a second time in preparation for this interview, I was paying attention. And you know what? You know what I saw? I saw something totally different. I saw a woman who questions. We may not like her answers, but they aren't our answers. I saw a woman who has raised her children extremely well. She has brought them up to be participants in life, whatever life it is that they choose. And I see children who are respectful of their parents and other people. I saw a woman who quotes words of the Talmud on a global TV series, and that doesn't happen often. I saw a woman who's kind and generous, first and foremost. And doesn't the world need more kindness? Social media has forced many of us to take stock of where we're at spiritually and observantly, a very necessary exercise during these pandemic years. My Unorthodox Life is a series documenting a family in transition. And for you and me, we know that transition works both ways. It depends on our questions and our answers. I wish you and your family a Shabbat Shalom. May you enjoy the peace, inspiration, light, beauty, and goodness of convening with God, however you choose to do it. If you've missed any part of this conversation, if you would like to share this conversation or just access the podcast to listen again, you can do that either on Spotify, just look up Chai FM, C-H-A-I-F-M, or on chaifm.com. Shabbat Shalom.